branding, experience, conversation, promotion, powerful marketing, empowering small business to change their status quo. It's the Internet Show, all about small business marketing. Jay Arrett hosts the brightest minds in marketing. Power to the small business.
Well, howdy, partner. Time to jump back on the podcasting wagon train. We've taken almost a month off, and our first episode of 2010 will look both behind us and what's ahead of us as small businesses in 2010. Hello, I'm Jay Arrett, small business marketing coach, consultant, speaker, blog author, located in Woodway, Texas, just outside the bustling metropolis of Waco. You can find me on the web at themarketingspot.com. That's my website. My blog is themarketingspotblog.com, or just Google The Marketing Spot. You'll find me. So here's what's in store for you on episode number 47. It's the first of 2010. We're going to look back at 2009 and look at some of the best moments of the best episodes of the year. We did 25 episodes of Power to the Small Business last year, 37 different guests. I've picked out some of the most interesting clips from the 10 most listened to episodes, and we're going to do it in countdown fashion, Casey Kasem style, sort of. We had so many cool people on the show last year, and they taught us so much. This is a great refresher if you're a regular listener, and if you hopped on board in the middle of last year, you may find an episode you want to go back and listen to. If you do, I've got all the archives of the previous shows at powertothesmallbusiness.com. I'll also link to it in the show notes of this podcast, which can be found on the Marketing Spot blog. So we'll get to that look back shortly, but first, let's take a look ahead at 2010, which I have declared to be the year of awesomeness on my blog. Now, the first quarter of this year, I'm placing a special emphasis on branding, specifically building an awesome brand for your business. We started out the year on the blog with a series of 8 articles on brand building. Check them out on the blog. They're part of the Build an Awesome Brand series. Now, in tandem with the blog effort, I have 3 events that may also interest you. The first is a free live webinar. That's a seminar on the web with me and tagline expert Jim Morse, known as Tagline Jim. It's called Branding You: Revive, Refresh, Revitalize Your Brand in 2010. Practical, nuts and bolts type stuff with lots of takeaways. It's this Wednesday, January 20th, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. It's free. Get registration info on my website, themarketingspot.com, or on the show notes of this podcast in the blog. Then on February 23rd, you can attend my full day Build an Awesome Brand workshop in my hometown of Waco, Texas. I'm still working out a few of the location logistics, but I will post them this week on my blog. Now, that one will not be free. It's $199, but it's a full day step-by-step workshop where you build an awesome brand for your business. Check out more details on my website or the blog. Now, finally, I'll take that same workshop, break it up into 4 separate sessions. Each can stand alone by themselves, or you can take them all 4, and I will present them at the Optimization Summit in Dallas on March 23rd. That Optimization Summit is going to be an amazing. It's an unbelievable lineup of speakers and teachers, including Duct Tape Marketing's John Janch, social media expert Jason Falls, word of mouth expert Gino Church from Brains on Fire. If I wasn't speaking at this event, I would pay to attend, and I'm not joking. Check it out. I've got a link to the event and a special discount code. Now, if you register before January 26th, I think is the date, there's a $100 off discount on the registration, but I also have a code that will give you an extra $25 off. Use the code THEMARKETINGGUY, no spaces, and you'll get an extra $25 off. So free webinar, 2 live events to help you build an awesome brand. That's a look forward. Now let's take a look back. It's the best moments from the top 10 episodes of 2009. Here we go, starting with our 10th most popular podcast of 2009. It was David Meerman Scott. He was our guest. He had just released his best-selling book, Worldwide Rave. It's a book about getting people to talk about you and spreading your ideas online. So that is the big question. How can you create something that people talk about online? David said it was about losing control. It was episode number 27, originally aired on April 9th. Here's David Meerman Scott on losing control.
There's a number of different aspects of losing control. One aspect, which is really important to remember, is we're talking here about how you can create something that gets people to talk about you. How can you create something online that's worth talking about, that people will recommend to their friends, that if they have a blog, they'll blog about it. They might put it on their Facebook page. You know, we've come up with a couple of examples. There's Dr. Smith, who's the dentist. She created this great ebook, and, you know, we came up with our hypothetical architect who is going to create a blog that chronicles how to build a house. So it's this valuable kind of information. But if you want people to talk about you, you have to let them talk. And for so long, business owners have been trying to control the messages that they deliver to their potential customers, existing customers. And that creates behavior like creating a vision statement or a mission statement. It also leads to some behavior like not putting a lot of information out there. And that behavior would manifest itself in something like this. Imagine there's a young architect at the architecture firm that says, oh my God, it'd be really cool to do a blog. I'm going to create this blog. It'll be really great. And then one of the more senior people at the architecture firm says, why would we want to show all of our competitors our secrets and how we put together a house? That's not a good idea. So you know, there's this fear that when you put information out there, that it'll get into the wrong hands. You know, the competition will see it, or you know, they might. There's the other fear that, well, if we put all this information out there, well, you know, then we don't have anything to tell the prospective client when we finally meet them, because they're already going to see all of our secrets in the content that we put out there. And those are just really ill-founded fears. And the idea that if you have the guts to lose control of your messages and lose control of your content and lose control of the ways that people talk about you, they will talk about you, and that's a good thing.
David Meerman Scott. Well, we started a new feature on Power to the Small Business in 2009. It was called the Marketers Roundtable. It's where I invite my marketing friends to sit down at the roundtable and talk a little shop. And coming in at number 9 in the countdown was one of our Marketers Roundtable discussions. The guests were Al Lautenschlager, Connie Reese, and Stephen Denny. We were discussing strategy versus tactics, and Stephen Denny of Denny Marketing stood up at the roundtable and said something very interesting about how identity dictates your strategy. It was episode number 41, originally aired on October 30th. Here's Stephen Denny.
Get back to this point of strategies against tactics and what's appropriate when you're sitting down for that first time with a client. Some of my clients are publicly traded. Some of my clients are bootstrapping startups. And in each one of those times, I think, Connie, you may have mentioned this as well, it really starts with this idea of who you are and who you're not. Because 99% of the companies we casually run into out there who are just taking those first steps sort of start with that positioning statement that says, we're the best with the most for the least. And you have to sort of wrestle that to the ground and get them to say, well, what exactly are you? What are you willing to walk away from? And at the end of that process, you come out with something that is as unique as a fingerprint. And that, to me, has always been the first step that says, ah, we're actually making strides down the field now. We're actually on the way to defining who it is we're looking to talk to and what it is we're going to say. Then we can talk about lead generation and demand generation, things like that. But until you sort of cross that chasm, you're talking to everyone about everything.
Well, social media was a huge topic everywhere you looked in 2009. Blogs, podcasts, books. And moving on to number 8 in the countdown of the most listened to episodes of 2009, we move into online branding and extending your brand into the World Wide Web. Simon Salt of Inkslingers was the guest, and we were discussing how Best Buy used Twelpforce, that's their Twitter customer service initiative, to engage the brand online. So what is social media's role in online branding? From episode number 38, originally aired September 18th, here's Simon Salt.
Unfortunately, a lot of people and companies have been dazzled by it and just think, wow, you know, we can just put all our efforts into social media and it'll make everything better. And it really doesn't. It's just a tool in the box. And you have to have the other pieces in play. What people don't often take into account is if you're not already a social organization, and what I mean by that is if customer service isn't front and center of your organization, then you're probably going to fail miserably at social media. So it has to be already part of your brand and your brand mission to put the customer first. Otherwise, social is a really bad place for you to go. And I would actually advise companies to stay out of social until they get their internal organization aligned. Because if you start something like the 12th Force, those people have to be empowered. They have to be empowered to know how to answer those questions. And it's impossible, if you think about the range of products that something like Best Buy sells, I would say it would be impossible for one person to know everything about every one of those products.
You know, one of the cool things about this podcasting gig is I get to talk to best-selling authors, including some who wrote books that shaped my career. And I was lucky enough to have one of those people, Jason Jennings, who last year authored the book Hit the Ground Running, A Manual for New Leaders. Now, during our conversation, Jason retold a story from the book where he was interviewing Tim and Richard Smuckers, the co-CEOs of Smuckers, about how they had just increased their revenue tenfold in the previous 8 years. But they decided to ask Jason a question. From episode number 28, originally aired on April 28th, here's Jason Jennings answering the question, do you know the golden rule?
And I said, well, of course. I never missed Sunday school as a kid. I know the golden rule. And he said, well, what is it? And I said, well, the golden rule says that as ye sow, so shall ye reap. And he said, well, that's part of it. He said, do you know the rest of it? And I said, well, no, that's all I was ever taught. As ye sow, so shall ye reap. And he said, well, Jason, you're really missing the most important words from the Golden Rule. And I said, well, what are they? And he said, well, if you pick up a Bible and look at Galatians, the Bible verse actually says, do not be deceived, God shall not be mocked, as ye sow, so shall ye reap. And he said, Jason, what that says is this. He said, when you try to deceive yourself by thinking you can get away by lying to workers or vendors or suppliers or coming up with funny numbers in a financial statement or trying to screw your customer, he said, now think about how all of this is so rampant in business today. He said, when you try to deceive other people, you're actually deceiving yourself. And in the process of deceiving yourself, you will reap exactly what you sow. And it was like one of those magical moments you occasionally have, and I thought, these guys have hit the nail on the head, because the first thing that all of these CEOs, bucking conventional wisdom, believe is they believe in the golden rule. Don't try to fool your customers. Don't try to fool your workers. Don't try to beat up your vendors and suppliers. Don't try to fool your shareholder, because if you do those things, you're just deceiving yourself, and either karma or some great force in the universe is going to come and bite you in the backside.
And now, on with the countdown. Well, as you can tell, I can't do a good Casey Kasem, but the countdown continues nonetheless. We're up to number 6 of the most popular podcast episodes of 2009. I got a chance to talk to Ari Weinswag. He's one of the two principals of the Zingerman's Community of Businesses in the Ann Arbor, Michigan area, which was featured in the book Small Giants because they have this reputation for delivering an amazing customer experience and creating staunch customer loyalty. And so the Zingerman's Community of Businesses is known for delivering this great customer experience. And Ari says that the secret is not about following the rules. It's really about getting your people to break the rules. From episode number 24, originally aired February 19th, here's Ari Weinswag.
Well, you have to teach them. I mean, because they're you know, beaten down by society to never do that, except, you know, they do it anyway, but they don't tell you about it. But, you know, you just build, I mean, A, you teach it, B, you build a culture where the people who've been here a long time understand that, and, you know, we'll teach it on shift, and then you got to recognize and reward it when they do it, you know, and sometimes they don't do it perfectly, but that's true of most things in life, and then our job is to, you know, constructively correct, and then, but more importantly, to reward them for thinking out of the box and being willing to take a chance to get a great experience to the customer instead of just doing what everybody else does in most places, which is just say there's nothing I can do or read the rules to them.
Do you have any, maybe some recent examples of someone working for Zingerman's that kind of broke the rules in favor of the customer?
Well, I mean, I'm sure it happens every day. I mean, it's just, you know, made a special item for somebody that wasn't on the menu, or they charged them a different price because the customer didn't like the price, or they jumped them ahead in the line because their mother was sick and they needed to get home. I mean, it's not like some constant, huge event. It's really more about small little things where people are going to do the right thing and use their brain and intelligence and insight to do what needs to be done, as opposed to most places where I think people are trained to just follow the rules.
I hope you're enjoying this little trip down memory lane. I know I had a lot of fun going back through the episodes last year and picking out these clips. We're halfway through the countdown of the best moments from the top 10 episodes of 2009. Coming in at number 5 is our talk with sales guru Tom Hopkins. Now, I am continually surprised at how many entrepreneurs have never heard of Tom Hopkins. And if you haven't, you probably have not been paying enough attention to teaching your people to sell. Now, during my conversation with Tom, I asked him about getting everyone in an organization to realize that everyone is in sales. So from episode number 40, originally aired October 21st, here's Tom Hopkins on building a sales mentality in a company.
Well, I think the first thing is that the leadership, the starting with the owner, the chairman of the board, the president, I think has to let everybody know that from the top of this company to the very bottom, we are all in sales. And we have, of course, management, which are selling the people in sales. We have salespeople that are selling clients. But let's say in a heating and air conditioning company, this person is the technician going in to repair the heating or air conditioning unit. The way they handle themselves, the way they talk to the decision maker, the homeowner, that's selling as well. But I think this whole mentality, Jay, has to be taught by leaders of the company that we are all in sales. And, you know, there's examples of this. 20 years ago, I was doing seminars for Mary Kay Cosmetics. You know, it's a company that is one of the largest in the world in cosmetic sales. They have, I guess, 300,000 or 400,000 women. And, of course, as I was teaching them, I was so impressed that Mary Kay, the woman that founded this company, was out there all the time doing teaching. And she had a little saying, if you're not selling for 3 days, everybody will know it. If you're not selling for 2 days, the company will know it. If you're not selling for 1 day, you will know it because you won't have an income that you deserve. So she, her whole mentality was, we are all in sales. And I've met presidents and owners of so many companies who, when they grasp the concept that, hey, be proud to tell everybody we're all selling. Be proud to say that, you know, the people in the accounting department, they're in sales as far as selling the people they work with. And this mentality has to be taught. And when it's accepted, Jay, and taught, it's amazing how profits increase to companies.
We're counting down the podcast hits all the way to number 1. We're up to number 4. It's from our very first Marketers Roundtable episode, where I invite some of my marketing friends and we talk shop in a roundtable format. And we were having a conversation about customer service and how the mentality needs to permeate an entire company. We're talking about the customer service mentality. Well, the discussion led to the separation of marketing from the rest of the operations of a company. That really should not be, but many times it is. And the reason we concluded goes back to the company leadership. Everyone gets in the action in this soundbite from episode number 37, originally aired on September 8th. Here are, in order of appearance, Steve McKee, Paula Pollack, Esteban Kolsky, and me on marketing leadership.
this is going to sound awful and biased, but marketers should run companies. And this is a way overused example, but Southwest Airlines, you know, is their customer service, the flight attendants on the plane, their ads, and they're not perfect, but it is very continuous. You know, they really don't distinguish from the customer perspective. You get the same personality, you get the same value equation from Southwest no matter where you touch them.
And that's the same thing, too. I agree with you on that. There's definitely some companies that you can tell that somebody at the helm is a marketer. And you get that experience all the way through, you know, to the very, very end of, you know, your purchase or return for that matter. You know, I think that Zappos is a perfect example of that. They really get it. They know how to reach out for their clients and take good care of them. And if they have a bad experience, they take care of it right away. You know, but they're not outsourcing it like you were saying, the Orbitz. You know, you go to Orbitz, you want an inexpensive plane ticket, and now I'm mad at Orbitz. Well, there's probably six other companies that were the ones that actually did that.
And I think that the rise of the CMO, the chief marketing officer in these organizations lately, is due to the fact that you know, we have recognized finally the customer experience and you know, marketing essentially should drive a lot of the operations, and you know, now the CMO has a seat at the executive table because of that.
Well, you're in a safe crowd here, but I would totally agree with that. And I would say it anywhere, that you don't have to be a marketer by training to lead a company, but to be successful, you need to be a marketer by philosophy.
I think that's true, Steve. You need that marketing mind in order to successfully run all operations of the company.
And speaking of entrepreneurs who have the heart of a marketer, that brings us to the third most listened to podcast of 2009. We don't just have marketers and authors on the show. I like to talk to entrepreneurs too, people who have taken small businesses and made them bigger. One such entrepreneur is Megan Duckett, who owns a company in California called So What. That's S-E-W, So What. They make theatrical curtains. Megan is really a delightful person to talk to, and we Americans are suckers for accents. Megan is Australian. She said some pretty profound things during our conversation, including an incredible insight on branding and sales in a small business. From episode number 39, originally aired September 29th, here's Megan Duckett on branding.
Most important is don't take a product to market unless you are completely certain that you can deliver the product. So I think the big lesson has been for me to do the homework, the research first, and then market it or take it to market, rather than what I used to do, which was have a great idea, slap it up all over the place, and then try it out on my clients only to discover that it was either not saleable or unprofitable or, you know, fell apart. I think that making clear decisions and always having branding first in mind. There's a difference between marketing and branding in my perception, or as I perceive it. Marketing could simply mean selling a product, whereas branding is telling your story and developing the theme of who you are. And people are more likely to buy what you got if they get who you are. So having that concept of brand first and then product second, and all along bearing in mind that the brand is who you are and then developing the product to what they need. You see, that's where the balance is between buyer and seller.
Okay, two episodes left in our countdown. Who will be number one? Well, we stay with the ladies for number two. I had the chance to speak with Laura Reese, who was co-author with her dad, Al Reese, of War in the Boardroom, about how left brain management and right brain marketing don't always see eye to eye. And that's because management thinks some of those marketing ideas from those marketing guys, they're a little wacky. Well, Laura had something to say about that. From episode number 25, originally aired March 1st, here's Laura Reese on Common Sense in Marketing.
What doesn't work in marketing is common sense. and that's, you know, that's the real problem, because the left brainer is so in the belief that common sense is always right, and that's exactly not what doesn't work in marketing. And why these big thinkers and, you know, expensive coffee, $4 for a coffee, what, you know, that's never going to work. That's what all the logical people said. But of course, you know, Starbucks today has become, you know, a huge success. Red Bull, hey, Dietrich Mateschitz, the brand visionary of Red Bull, did test studies before this thing. You know what the consumer said? They hated the taste, they hated the can, they hated the price, they hated the whole darn thing. And if you've ever had Red Bull, it tastes terrible, right? It's absolutely disgusting. Yet, it's a $3 billion business.
Wow.
Because the branding was right. And because, while it might not have made common sense, it made marketing sense. And in marketing, it was a new category. It was, you know, obviously an energy drink as opposed to a soft drink. A brilliant name, great packaging. The high price was indeed actually a benefit. It said the stuff was really worth something. And so that's why marketing is so important. And entrepreneurs, obviously, the key to their success is going to be building that brand and having the correct marketing plan.
All right, so here we are, the number one episode of Power to the Small Business from 2009. By number of downloads and listens, with 20% more listens than any other podcast episode of the year, it was our episode on April Fool's Day. This is no joke. On an episode I called The State of Small Business Marketing, I had on four small business marketers, and we took the pulse of small business marketing. Lots of great stuff in that episode, and it was hard to pick out just one clip, but I'm going to go with one from Drew McClellan of McClellan Marketing Group. He's one of the drivers behind the Age of Conversation books. Drew got to talking about how to build marketing that connects with customers. From episode number 26, originally aired April 1st, from the number one podcast episode of the year, here's Drew McClellan with Creating Marketing That Resonates.
As you know, one of the biggest mistakes that small business owners make in their marketing is they spend a lot of time talking about themselves. And really, none of us are paying attention to what everybody else in the world is about. What we care about is, how does this impact my world? How is this going to change my business or my family or my home or whatever the product is? And so I think what they really need to focus on is who they're talking to and what matters to that person, and talking in that language. But it's not about, it's our 50th anniversary, therefore. It's not about, you know, it's not about me. It's really about who you're talking to. And I think the other mistake they make is they try and shove way too much into any marketing communication piece. I don't care if it's a radio spot or a Facebook ad or anything in between. It's, you know, one key message.
Yeah, that's hard to do because you've got all this ad space, or you got 30 seconds, or you have 60 seconds. You got to fill it with something, right?
And as you and I know, the way to fill it is to go deeper rather than wider. So I don't have to tell you about all 12 features of my product or service. What I want to do is focus on the one that I think matters most to the audience I'm talking to, and then give them examples or tell a story that allows them to grab onto that example and understand why it should matter to them.
Wow, good stuff from 2009. Now, if you want to go back and listen to one of those shows, I have the link to each episode in my show notes on the blog, themarketingspotblog.com. But now, it's time to move forward. I'll have more great guests for you in 2010 on Power to the Small Business, but I'm also resolved to give you more practical takeaways too. So look for more coaching and teaching stuff this year on the podcast. And hey, make it easy for yourself to listen. Subscribe in iTunes. Now, even if you don't have an iPod or an iPhone, iTunes is free, and so are podcasts. So whenever I publish a new episode, or there are many other great marketing podcasts out there, the show automatically downloads when you open iTunes. It's there to listen to whenever you want. I've got the subscription link in the show notes on the blog. And don't forget about the free webinar and the two Build an Awesome Brand workshops coming up in the first quarter. So saddle up. 2010 is going to be awesome. Thanks for listening to the internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the Small Business.
You've been listening to Power to the Small Business with Jay Arrett, the internet show exclusively about small business marketing. Please see the complete show notes at themarketingspotblog.com. You can also listen to the show online and subscribe in iTunes at powertothesmallbusiness.com. Never miss an episode of the internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the Small Business.
Special thanks to Mary Lynn Foster of the Big Success Podcast for creating the opening and closing voiceovers of Power to the Small Business. You can find Mary Lynn at the Big Success Show, BIGGSuccess.com.